I wrote the following, Michael Dowd speaking, in August of 2016 for Richard Rohr's Wunning Journal, Volume 4, Number 2, published in October 2016. The title? What's Inevitable? What's Redemptive? Evidential Medicine for Our Collective Soul. Religions are evolving. Nowhere is this more evident than how spiritual leaders across the spectrum are expanding their views of revelation to include all forms of evidence. We are witnessing the birth of what I have been calling the evidential reformation, a time when all forms of evidence, scientific, historic, cross-cultural, experiential, are valued religiously. Crucially, ecology, the interdisciplinary study of God's nature, becomes integral to theology. Pope Francis, Patriarch Bartholomew, the Dalai Lama, and the signers of the Islamic Declaration on Global Climate Change are spearheading this evidence-honoring greening of religion. The movement has been passionate and inspired for decades. But the noble sentiments that spawned care for creation are no match for the crises now spinning out of control. It is time for a prophetic turbocharging of our religious traditions. Foremost is the need to expand beyond the self-focus of individual salvation or enlightenment to also include vital community concerns, notably survival. The community now, of course, is the entire human family and the more-than-human Earth community. A renewed call to action cannot be expected to offer pat solutions. Sadly, what were problems in the recent past have now exploded into predicaments. A predicament, by definition, is a kind of problem for which there are no solutions. It can neither be solved nor overcome, yet it is too impactful to ignore. A predicament must be dealt with conscientiously and continuously. Our responses can only offer more or less helpful interventions. The predicament itself will persist. Once a problem metastasizes into a predicament, forecasts of challenges that may arise solidify into disquieting lists of inevitabilities. Such an evidentially derived list is what I offer in annotated format in the first part of this essay, What's Inevitable? The second part, What's Redemptive?, posits that the only way humanity can be redeemed is to shift from human-centered to life-centered measures of progress and success. Mythically speaking, this would be God's prime directive, expanded into a list of 10 realities rules. Underlying these stark and still very tentative declarations is a broadening of how we understand the Word of God today. What's inevitable? To begin, what has God/reality revealed through evidence about what we can expect in the decades and centuries ahead? The outlook is surprisingly and disturbingly clear. We can expect climate chaos, sea level rise, the end of the fossil fuel era, political unrest, toxic legacy, biodiversity catastrophe, cultural loss, and worldviews unraveling. I'll take these one at a time. Climate chaos. Evidence from a wide range of scientific disciplines now points to escalating climate chaos, global weirding, as inevitable. Even if every nation goes beyond its 2015 COP21 commitments, there is still trouble ahead, notably intensified storms, droughts, and wildfires, shifts in agricultural zones and habitability, and the breakdown of environmental services crucial for maintaining human well-being and civility. Sea level rise. The last time that the concentration of atmospheric carbon dioxide, CO2, was 400 parts per million, sea level was 50 feet higher than today. This was just prior to the Pleistocene glaciations, when CO2 hovered around 200 parts per million. With sea level having risen mere inches in our lifetimes, though CO2 is now at 405 parts per million, simplistic logic might tempt us to ignore the past when anticipating our future. This is where the sciences of thermodynamics and glaciology become essential, as they teach us to expect a substantial lag time between cause and consequence. John Englander, Former CEO of the Jacques Cousteau Society and author of High Tide on Main Street, Rising Sea Level and the Coming Coastal Crises, sums up our predicament. Quote, "What the latest models show is that sea level rise will continue for at least 500 years, even if we stop CO2 emissions immediately," unquote. The loss of our coastal cities was even depicted in the opening ceremony of the 2016 Rio Olympics. End of the fossil fuel era. Geologists and ecological economists are tracking the depletion of world oil reserves. Exploration and technological advance do not make up for the losses, and the capital and energy costs of finding and producing an additional barrel of oil now exceed what economies can afford to pay. Soon it will be game over for high-cost extraction of tar sands, shale fracking, and risky investment in deep water and polar locales. The end of the fossil fuel era is thus inevitable, even without governmental intervention to address climate chaos and sea level rise. Whether peak oil has already occurred or is still a few years out is irrelevant. The era of abundant, concentrated energy is behind us. The evidence is compelling. Transitioning to renewables will be expensive and wrenching, and incapable of powering societies and commerce at today's levels. Political unrest. Climate chaos, sea level rise, and the decline of cheap, concentrated, easily transportable energy will interact to undermine the well-being of ordinary citizens. Even nations with strong economies, high ground, vast agricultural acreage, and social cohesion will be vulnerable. Political unrest and turmoil will be unavoidable. The evidence of history points towards severe disruptions that will force economies, governance, and cultures to relocalize, that is, to contract in scope and scale. There will be suffering and loss, but also opportunities for finding meaningful work and forging cooperative relationships in real communities. Economic contraction will unburden youth who have become victims of what environmental sociologist William Catton calls the age of exuberance. Once again, real work will be available for young adults. Apprenticeships will increasingly replace classroom modes of education. Earlier entry into adult activities that build self-esteem will diminish the lure of addictive substances and errant activities that now challenge youth who necessarily choose to isolate or socialize mostly with same-age peers. Toxic legacy. Historians and ecologists have documented the harmful impacts that virtually all civilizations have had on the health and recycling services of the ecosystems upon which they depend. The reverberating effects on public health, economies, and safety become disastrous. In the inimitable words of Robert Louis Stevenson, quote, "Sooner or later we all sit down to a banquet of consequences," unquote. Additional burdens bequeathed to descendants this time around include nuclear waste, heavy metals, and toxic chemicals that will endure in the biosphere for centuries, even millennia. Climate-driven sea level rise will exacerbate the problem. The landward ingress of corrosive salt water will penetrate metal containments. Ground flows and ocean currents will then disperse the poisonous contents. Equally, a superabundance of CO2 becomes a toxin in its own right by acidifying seawater, threatening species whose shells depend on ocean alkalinity. Biologists report that severe marine degradation is already underway. Biodiversity catastrophe. Since the late 1970s, when biologists warned that human impacts had triggered the sixth mass extinction, species recovery and habitat improvements have been overwhelmed by escalating losses at the global scale. Now, conservation biologists are facing a future in which even common species, especially plants, will require our help in moving poleward at a pace that far exceeds their own capacities. That looming need for assisted migration will, however, coincide with a reluctance in stressed societies for channeling funds toward any activities beyond immediate human needs. Thus, threatened species and even the wealthiest nations face an uphill battle. Cultural loss. In times of stress, the complexities that weave communities into civilizations falter. When individuals and societies struggle to secure basic needs, the arts and sciences that both create and depend on high culture suffer. In such times, there will be those who voluntarily sacrifice their own comfort and security in service of safeguarding cultural treasures through a dark age. Love something, learn something, let go of something, and pass something forward is how I regularly encourage audiences to embark on a legacy project. Worldviews unravel. If any of the above inevitabilities were news to you, you likely experienced a twinge of one or more of the five stages of grief. These are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Acceptance leading not merely to acquiescence, but to what Joanna Macy calls active hope. When worldviews unravel, there is loss, and the grieving process is instinctive and healthy. A traditional and vital function for religions in the future will thus be to shepherd individuals through the emotional and faith challenges that accompany periods of societal stress, when expectations erode and meanings unravel. As more and more people discover that their expectation of never-ending progress is an illusion, and as disruptions spread, religions will be called upon to do what they've always done: help people live meaningful lives, foster healthy relationships, die peacefully, and leave a sweet legacy. To stay relevant for the times, religions will need to foster not only personal wholeness and social coherence. The exemplary wisdom of indigenous peoples is also crucial. Ecological integrity, that is, right relationship to primary reality, the literal ground of our being, must be central. Sacrificing for the common good and standing for the future must be honored as sacred. What's redemptive? Redemption for humanity does not imply that we can undo or compensate for the ecological devastation we have already wrought. We can, however, set out on a new course. We, the prodigal species, can come home to reality, come home to God. Whether framed in secular or religious language, the implications are clear. If we treat primary reality as anything other than primary, there will be consequences, if not immediately, then compounded in the future. Voiced religiously, the health and well-being of God's nature comes first. Anything else is human-centered, and thus a form of idolatry. Anthropocentrism and the myth of human omnipotence over primary reality, God's nature, have brought forth a global economic system that rewards the few at the expense of the many, measures progress by how fast it can turn the biosphere into pollution, and forces billions to betray posterity in pursuit of the so-called good life. Whether we call such an anti-future economy unsustainable, insane, or demonic really doesn't matter. It has no future. What is not aligned with God's nature is self-terminating. There can be no human progress when the soils, waters, air, and life are degraded. Ecologically, the success of any species begins with learning to thrive within the limits of carrying capacity. Humanity's drawdown of natural resources and polluting of natural systems are not exempt from this law of life. How many fishes can be harvested without depriving our descendants of sustenance in the future? How much petroleum can be burned without triggering runaway climate catastrophe? It is time to integrate caring capacity into our theologies. Toward this end, I now speak of grace limits. The bounds that delimit safe levels of human use of other creatures and their habitats are there by natural grace. By staying within those bounds, we experience the grace of God's nature. To venture beyond, which we have done excessively, we suffer God's wrath via storms, drought, floods, wildfires, rising and acidifying oceans, and in a great dying. The call to action for religious adherents is this: to first learn about, then reflect upon, and finally evolve our worldviews. Henceforth, the unbending grace limits of God's nature, combined with caring capacity deficits inflicted by a century of human overpopulation and extravagant consumption, i.e. overshoot, will constrain even our noblest aims and thus the bounds of our efforts. Idealism will be tempered whenever human problems morph into the far more dangerous and intractable contours of predicaments. the onset of multiple crises, such as those we are witnessing today, signals that we have arrived at just such a turn. I personally have spent much of the past 3 years revising and mourning the loss of a techno-optimist worldview that inspired my bright-eyed evolutionary evangelism for nearly 2 decades. Along the way, I've been blessed not only with active hope, but also with a revised action plan that nourishes my soul. It feeds my soul because it arises from a realistic assessment of my own gifts and limitations at this pivotal time. Among the tangible outcomes of my new focus is an uncompromising to-do list for humanity, which I offer below. This list derives from the collective intelligence of hundreds of scientific and religious colleagues whose ideas I have wrestled with and who have wrestled with mine. For a religiously progressive audience, this set of declarative statements may be controversial, not so much for what it says, but how. Because the evidential Word of God includes the knowledge and wisdom born of science, history, and cross-cultural experience, I have no difficulty writing as if the commanding, no-nonsense biblical God were speaking today. Crucially, in offering these 10 commandments, I am not channeling an otherworldly entity, nor am I accessing esoteric wisdom. Rather, I am aggregating scholarship in science, history, and cross-cultural studies to give voice to global collective intelligence in a way that maps our way home. However you may respond to the style and tone of what follows, know that my proposal is but a poor cousin to the power and art of what Conservation International and a dozen Hollywood stars have already achieved. Please take a few minutes to watch one or more of the Nature is Speaking videos freely available online, some of which have gone viral. These short 1 to 2 minute videos are unsurpassed for conveying the prophetic power of personification, that is, giving human characteristics to what is more than human. Reality's Rules: 10 Commandments to Avoid Extinction and Redeem Humanity. The original 10 Commandments, as well as this version, delineate the limitations on our behavior essential for human communities to persist over the long term. Just as the Hebrew commandments were guidelines for a troubled people in a challenging time, the set below articulates the constraints that our species must now impose upon itself while navigating crises of our own creation. The first 5 commandments strive to inoculate us against the all-too-common virus of idolatry, that is, an unreal notion of God, a divinity not synonymous with reality. The second 5 offer a clear and compelling way back into right relationship to primary reality. Each is intended to be heard in the first person, as God speaking. In traditional religious language, "Thus saith the Lord." Stop thinking of me as anything less than the voice of undeniable and inescapable reality. Stop thinking of revelation or divine instruction without including evidence. Stop thinking of Genesis or your creation story apart from the history of the universe. Stop thinking of theology apart from ecology, the interdisciplinary study of my nature. Stop defining and measuring progress in short-term, human-centered ways. Stop allowing the free or subsidized polluting of the commons. Stop using renewable resources faster than they can be replenished. Stop using non-renewable resources in ways that harm or rob future generations. Stop exploring for coal, oil, and natural gas. Keep most of it in the ground. Stop prioritizing the wants of the wealthy over the needs of the poor. Coda. The challenges ahead threaten to overwhelm. Yet I am moved to tears of joy as often as tears of sorrow. What a time to be alive and awake. What an honor to be engaged in the great work of fostering a mutually enhancing human-earth relationship. Supporting one another through the stages of grief and inevitable challenges along the way is surely medicine for our collective soul.